reminded of the meeting on Wednesday night at 6:30. We welcome you back to worship next Sunday, and Pastor Scott Nellis will be preaching. Invite you to come down for coffee and following the service this morning. These are the announcements. Would you stand, please, and read the responsive call to reading? To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Hymn number 3, Earth and All Stars. Earth and all stars, come rushing planets, sing to the Lord a new song. Oh, victory, order from chaos, sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We too will praise him with a new song. Hail, wind and rain, come blowing snowstorm, sing to the Lord a new song. Flowers and trees, soft rustling dry leaves, sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We too will praise him with a new song. Trumpet and pipes, loud clashing cymbals, sing to the Lord a new song. Harp, lute, and lyre, low humming fellows, sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We too will praise him with a new song. Engines and steel, loud pounding hammers, sing to the Lord a new song. Limestone and beams, strong building workers, sing to the Lord a new song. God has done marvelous things. We too will praise him with a new song. Let's pray together. Spirit of the living God, fill our hearts today. Our wills are weak, and we need your power. Our spirits are dry, and we need to be refreshed. Our minds are dulled, and we need your wisdom. Our bodies know pain, and we need your healing. Our emotions are bruised, and we need your comfort. Renew us as we worship, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first lesson is found in Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 17. It can be found on page 703 in your pew Bible. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I'm setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. with my sword, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore in Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. Amos answered Amaziah, I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of the sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go, prophesy to my people in Israel. Now then, hear the word of the Lord, you say. Do not prophesy against Israel, and stop preaching against the descendants of Isaac. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land. The second reading can be found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle to the Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace and peace to you from God, our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, when we pray for you, because we have heard your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love that you have for all the saints.
The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7, says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God knows the person who gives cheerfully. Our ushers will wait on us for our morning tithes and offerings.
Thank you. God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to come to this house and worship you. This past week, we celebrated Independence Day, and we thank you for the many freedoms which we enjoy, including the freedom to worship as we please. But even as we celebrated our freedom, we experienced once again an incident of gun violence. We pray for the families of the victims of that tragic act. Bring them your comfort. And we pray that there might be an end to the gun violence. And we realize, too, that our experience with COVID is not over yet. And we would pray for those who are dealing with it, that they might recover very quickly. We would pray once again for the situation in the Ukraine, as there is loss of life, as there are refugees leaving the country. We pray that there might be an end to that war. We pray for our public servants, our fire department personnel, our police and sheriff's department, as they keep us safe. We pray that they might be safe also. We thank you for Covenant Park and for the many lives that have been changed over the years. We pray that you would be with the 4th through 6th graders this week as they experience camp at Covenant Park. May there be those who find you through that ministry. We pray for our church in this time of transition. Lead us and guide us as we look for the pastor who will lead us into the future. We pray that we might find someone who will help us to reach out and grow. Thank you again for this day. Be with us as we continue our worship. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, we welcome to the pulpit once again our own Mike Hannay. And as before he brings the message of the morning, please turn to hymn number 500, Now Before You, Lord, We Gather. Now before you, Lord, we gather to receive your precious word. Let your grace in showers, O Father, on our parched hearts be poured. Send your Holy Spirit o'er us, with your quickening fire restore us. At your table spread before us, fill our hungering souls, dear Lord. May your word to us now given be retained in hearts contrite. On the narrow way to heaven, lead us in your perfect light. Hush within us all commotion, silence each disturbing notion. May we, Lord, with true devotion, use this hour of grace aright. Of the time may we avail us, when to seek us you are near. Soon the day of grace may fail us, and no message more we hear. Turn our minds to meditation on our need of your salvation. Urge on all your invitation, your prayer incline your ear.
Well, to reread those few verses in Colossians, modify them slightly, that Gail already read to us. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful believers in Messiah who are at First Covenant Church, Virginia, Minnesota, to you, grace and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. That's not the scripture for the sermon today, but I thought it appropriate. Just a little bit of a change from shalom. But shalom, anyway. Peace, prosperity, health, joy, all the good things from God to you, from Jesus, our Savior. I want to talk today about remembrance. That's what the title is. I had another message prepared back probably September, October, something like that. God began to talk with me about getting some messages prepared. Didn't know what for. Wasn't pastoring a church, etc. And so I had begun doing a lot of study and preparation. But when Roger called me and said, would you be willing, if we shifted the Lord's Supper, would you be willing to help us with the Lord's Supper? And so I shifted gears, because if we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we have got to celebrate Jesus. We just have to. There's no way getting around it, because that's what it's all about. Well, so I started the study, and you know me, first thing I do is I go to the words and in the lexicon. So there's three Greek words used in the New Testament, yawn, for remember. One is to recollect, like you go to the grocery store, you've got your list, help you recollect, remember the things you need to get. That's one of the Greek words. Another Greek word is to hint or suggest. And that's kind of like when you're in the grocery store and you've got your list and you're walking down the aisle and you go, ooh, we need that too. Wasn't on the list, but you saw it. It hinted to you. It gave you a clue. Oh, yeah, we need to pick that up as well. The third Greek word is the one that is used for the Lord's Supper. And it's a little bit, it's a Greek word that's a little bit complicated for us English-speaking people. And the word, it gets translated by Jesus, his words, do this in remembrance of me. And that Greek word, this is how I kind of try to help us understand it. That Greek word means to remind yourself to remember and do something in remembrance. So it's kind of like going to a funeral. You get the notice, you put the date on your calendar, and so you look at the date, the time, okay, we've got to go there. We go there. And then there is this service to help people remember, remembrance. You remind yourself to remember that you need to do something in remembrance. And during that service, oftentimes people will give an obituary, talk about the person to help you remember, help you to have a remembrance. That's what the Lord's Supper is intended to be. And in a sense, for Jesus, it was a funeral. If you remember that, He alluded to that during that entire week before his crucifixion. So today, the word I want us to shift to is a remembrance of celebration. What Jesus did for us changed our lives and has changed the lives of so many, probably millions of people over the last couple thousand years. And so I'd like to celebrate, not just recall this event. We're not going to celebrate the event itself, not the bread, not the grape juice, but Jesus. That's what he said. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, there's a lot to that week prior to his crucifixion, which is sort of the peak of it, was the Lord's Supper. We call it Maundy Thursday. There are a lot of things that we are not going to have time to look at today, unless you want to stay till noonish or something. But some of those things you've heard before, and that is, to celebrate the Lord's Supper, you need to be right in your heart. Well, back up one step, Mike. You need to know the Lord. And then you need to be right with the Lord to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so I'm not going to cover that again. You already know that. But just a reminder, as we come to the Lord's Supper, just a simple reminder, and we're going to get to that incident in a second. But remember when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet and he came to Peter? And Peter said, "No way, bud, you're not doing this." And Jesus said, "I've got to do it." And then Peter said, "Okay, if it's got to happen, but if you're going to wash my feet, you just might as well wash all of me." And you know Peter's attitude. He was kind of an interesting guy, but one thing about Peter stands out. He was humble. He was just always, I'm a sinner. I can't do it right over and over again. But Jesus' response to Peter at that point in time was, and I want you to take this to heart when you come to the Lord's Supper. "Peter, you are already clean. If you've been walking with the Lord, day after day after day, just following Jesus because you love him, you're just already clean." Yes, we do need to stop occasionally and ask the Lord for forgiveness of things that we do. But this life that we live isn't a moment by moment, "Oh, I better ask the Lord for forgiveness just in case something happens because I want to go to heaven." No, this is a life that we have. The life of Jesus is living in us. And so we are already clean. All you got to do is just keep following Jesus. That's all. It's not complicated. All right, let's get to some of the elements of that evening. And actually, part of it is going to start 6 days early. Just kind of a side note, this is not the Passover that Jesus was celebrating. Jesus was doing this one day early. So this is not the Passover. What Jesus was doing here is instituting an entirely new celebration for his people for all time. So he used the format of the Passover, but it wasn't the Passover the disciples celebrated the Passover a day later, which was what we would call Friday, which was, we don't need to get into that. But so this is something new. And that's why in the Word it's called the Lord's Supper. We call it the Holy Communion, the Holy Connection with Jesus. That's what the word communion means, connecting. So I want to start with Jesus. This week of Jesus' life before his crucifixion, Jesus changed. And he changed in a way that I think we need to connect with today. Remember, Jesus was God, Son of God, and the Son of Man. In this week, we see Jesus do three things that made him connect with his own humanness. He was going to the cross. He knew it. He knew that his human body was going to die. This was going to be an end of that existence of the body on this planet, in this dimension. And so things happened with Jesus during that last week that to me are very interesting. The first one is found in John 15. And in John 15, he's talking to his disciples and he says, "No longer am I going to call you servants. No longer is this going to be a master-servant relationship. No longer is this going to be a rabbi-student relationship. But I call you friends. You are a friend of Jesus." And he says, "I'm going to call you friends because I've let you know everything there is to know." Do we understand it all? No. "But I let you know everything there is to know. No more secrets. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I am your Redeemer." And so let's just get this straight. We are friends with Jesus. That's the first thing. A distinct decision that Jesus made to change the relationship between him and his followers, like you and me. The second decision that Jesus made that changed everything is found in John 16. And in John 16, Jesus says to his disciples, "I've talked to you in parables. I've talked to you in ways that you think or you have thought were kind of mystical and hard to understand. In fact, one time you came to me and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the sowers. We don't get it.' But from this point on," and that's through that week leading up to his crucifixion, and through the crucifixion, through the resurrection, through the resurrection to the ascension, Jesus said this, "I'm going to speak to you plainly. No more of this parables and stuff like that. I'm just going to cut straight to the chase." And if you're ever confused and sort of wondering, what does this all mean? I invite you to go to 5 chapters in the New Testament, John 13 through 17, because those are the chapters that occurred, the teaching that occurred while they were eating the Lord's Supper. And after Jesus said, "I'm just going to say it straight. This is just what it is. This is the truth. Don't have to wonder about it. Don't have to think about it. These are some of the things that Jesus talked about in those chapters. God loves you. You love God. There's going to come a betrayal, but Jesus is going to be glorified. And I'm giving you a new commandment, and that new commandment is love each other. See if I can get this right. Dr. Martin Luther King said the most integrated hour of the week is Sunday morning. We love each other in Christ. Nothing matters. Tall, short, skinny, fat, man, woman, child, elder, which some of us qualify for, young person, teenager. I got a guy over at Target that I've been kind of working on, and he plays the electric guitar. And they play this young people weird music. I don't remember what he calls it. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We love each other. And then Jesus goes on to talk about comfort that we have, oneness with the Father, the Holy Spirit, staying connected to the vine, what the world thinks of us, not good, by the way, the persecution that we're going to endure, the resurrection, his high priestly prayer, all contained in those five chapters in John. Can you imagine the disciples sitting there that night eating this four-course, five-course Passover meal? And Jesus is talking to them about all this stuff. Do you know what amazes me? Is John remembered it all and wrote it down in those five chapters for us. Amazing. That was the second decision. Jesus was going to speak plainly, including somebody sitting here is going to betray me. The third thing, and probably for me, the most impactful thing that Jesus decided to do, and I believe it was because out of his humanness, in Luke chapter 22, he says to his disciples as they're looking toward this night that they're going to spend together, which we call Maundy Thursday. In our translation, in the English translation, Jesus says to his disciples, I have earnestly desired to celebrate this with you. And he was referring to that night, Passover, which was ended up to be the Lord's Supper. I have earnestly desired. We have rarely seen in the Gospels anywhere where Jesus gives a hint of what's in his heart. He's always saying, I do what my Father tells me to do. I do everything that my Father tells me to do. But these three things come out of Jesus' human heart. You are my friends. I'm going to speak plainly. I'm not going to be mystical anymore. What you know today about Jesus is just crystal clear. You don't have to understand theology. Just Jesus. And number three, I earnestly desire to celebrate this with you. Once again, the English language just does not do justice to what the Greek language says in this passage. We go earnestly desire. Some translations say longing. Other translations use different words. These Greek words that are used are words that come out of the depth of Jesus. This is not a thought I'd like to celebrate with you. This is not just a plan. I'm planning to celebrate with you. No, I'm coming to the end of my life here. And in that process, I'm going to pay the price for you. And I just want so badly to have this one last night together with you. Let's just sit around and celebrate before I have to go to the cross. I just want to be with my friends. Just this last time. Well, that's what was happening with Jesus that week. Yes, we believe him to be the Son of God, but just remember, he was just human also, with a heart beating for his people. The second person that I want to take note of is Mary. This Mary is the Mary of the sister of Martha and Lazarus. You remember Lazarus, and of course we remember Martha, busy, busy about many things. This took place 6 days before the Passover, and you know the story, so I don't have to read it. It occurred in Bethany. Bethany is the town where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. And it occurred at the home of Simon the leper. This is found in John 12. It's found in Mark 14. It's found in Matthew 26. It occurred at the home of Simon the leper. Simon the leper. I don't know exactly who Simon the leper is, but I kind of want to think, remember those 10 lepers that Jesus healed? And one came back. I kind of think that might have been Simon the leper. One came back and became a follower of Jesus. It was at this home. And you know the story. Mary comes in with this jar of spices and perfume and breaks it and anoints Jesus. And then gets down on her hands and knees and wipes his feet with her hair. And you go, wow, this happened before. It happened in Luke chapter 7. And another Mary, Mary of Magdala, Mary Magdalene, we call her. She did the same thing. So this is kind of like a repeat. And Mary is doing this. And we're told that the value of this was 300 denarii, which is 300 days' wages, which in your margin may say 11 months' wages. It's not 11 months' wages. It's a year's wages. Apology for your margin. That's what it cost her. So I have a question. How much did Mary love Jesus? Ladies, have you ever taken a year's wages and sent a check to a missionary somewhere who was retiring to help them transition and buy a new home? Have you ever taken a year's wages and given it to help the poor and needy, like Salvation Army or whatever? I haven't. I've not heard of anybody who has, but Mary did. Mary loved Jesus. And I apologize for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Mary was in love with Jesus. Now, it's hard to say those words in our culture because our culture attaches weird stuff to that. But she just didn't love Jesus. She was just in love with him, the way we're supposed to be in love with him. Now, how weird is this? Think of yourself. You're at a restaurant with your pastor, and you've got about 10 other people with you, and you're having lunch and just talking and chatting. And in walks a person from your church, a lady from your church, and walks over. There's no chair for her to sit at. And so she pulls up a chair right behind and a little bit next to Pastor. And she leans in and puts her head on his shoulder and reaches around and puts her arm on the other shoulder. That's what this is like. You don't do this. You don't do this in public. That's how much she loved Jesus. She didn't give a hoot. Didn't care at all. She's just going to do it. This is just get out of the way. I don't care. You can call me whatever name in the book you want to call me. I love Jesus. And then, of course, a third person, which I'm not going to spend any time on, is Judas. Total opposite. We're told that as soon as Mary had anointed Jesus, in Mark 14:10, it says, immediately after this, Judas, remember this is 6 days before the Passover, six days before the Lord's Supper, immediately after, Judas got up and he went and met with the Pharisees and priests to turn in Jesus. And the reason we're given is because he said right out loud in front of everybody, what a waste. This perfume should have been sold. Take the money, put it into the poor box for the poor. And we're told in that same passage that the reason he said that is he was stealing from the poor box. And he was just mad. Just livid. And so he just left and said, that's it. I'm going to go and turn in Jesus. And then we celebrate, which we're going to do, from a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We usually use these words from Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll use them again today. I just want to highlight in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, what I received from the Lord, I give to you. In the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And afterwards he took the cup and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Wait a minute. Paul wasn't at the Lord's Supper. Paul was out persecuting Christians at the time. Where did he get that? He told us, I received from the Lord Jesus himself, personally, just like you and I have. when we came to know Jesus. I received from the Lord Jesus himself personally. That's my remembrance. We weren't there, but we were there. And if you're a believer in the Lord, and if you love Jesus, if you are in love with Jesus, that's what we celebrate.
In preparation for the service of communion, please turn in your hymnals to page 552, How Great the Joy. How great the joy the Lord provides for us so freely here, when at his table he presides and we to him draw near. His grace is new each day and hour, and we can rest upon his power. Alleluia, 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 amen. It is so good to love the Lord who gave his life for all. So good to trust his living word, be lifted when we fall. When earthly pleasures reach their end, our feast of joy will just begin. Alleluia, 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 amen. When shadows come, as come they will, and gloom pervades the day, when hopes once bright grow old and chill, the Lord provides a way. In heaven his light will always shine, and blessedness be yours and mine. Alleluia, 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 amen. So let us now give with joy our home and daily bread. In grace the Lord, as love will share, is truly will be fed. Through all our days he by our side, he hears whatever may be time. Hallelujah, 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 amen. With joy we walk with Jesus here, how great a friend is he. But think what joy awaits us there, when with and light we see. Our hopes and dreams we'll see, and at the heavenly feast we meet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, alleluia, amen.
Did you catch the last line? Our hopes and dreams will be complete when at the heavenly feast we meet. That's particularly interesting to me because Jesus said, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine again until we meet in heaven together. So what we do here today is a celebration of remembrance. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we are so honored to be called your friend. We are so honored that you searched out, beat the bushes till you found us. What a privilege to be with you in the Father's kingdom. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for washing us, making us clean. We thank you for dying for us so that we can be free. Take this time, Lord Jesus, and celebrate with us, your friends. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you come forward and help us to celebrate together? Just a reminder again, I have earnestly desired to celebrate this night with you. Daytime, okay. This feast with you. Paul said, I've received from the Lord that which I deliver to you, that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, take all of you and eat it. This is my body, which is being given for you. Would you share the body with our brothers and sisters? The body of Jesus given for us, take and eat. Well, we know that after Jesus died, he did eat. He met with the disciples, had a little fish and probably a little bread on the shore. But one thing he didn't do that we've already mentioned, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until we do it together in heaven. Do you know that while we're doing this today, right now, Jesus could come back. And the next time we drink of the fruit of the vine would be with him then. After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Not the blood of Jesus. It doesn't turn into blood. It's a New Testament, the New Covenant in my blood. "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink, eat the bread and drink the cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes again." Let's remember together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity together with each other here in this place and for all of those, your believers throughout the world, who may be doing the same thing today at the same time. Thank you for allowing us to share the bread and the cup, your body given for us, your blood given for us, so that we could be your friends. Jesus, we remember you. Amen. Thank you.
Would you stand and turn to hymn number 555? celebration, clap your hands and sing in praise to God, our ever-living King. With joyful hearts, our worship now we bring. Alleluia, alleluia. We drink the wine together, the bread, each one in turn is comforted and fed. We join our hands, our body Christ ahead. Alleluia, alleluia. With joys we go to take our place each day, living our lives by following Christ's way. All we do, we sing and serve and pray. Alleluia, alleluia. Past, place, and time, we raise beyond this earth our fellowship. In heaven finds rebirth. Anew our voices sing the Savior's worth. Alleluia, alleluia. And now in closing, would you turn to each other and sing the blessing.